Hello and welcome to a new episode of the Brother Streep Show. It is the April edition, and this week I'm going to talk to you about election posters. Go and vote next week.
I'm talking about traffic violations.
And the toilet tables have turned.
Welcome to the show. It's the best podcast that we know. We are glad to have you here. Let our voices massage your ears. It's free and it's online. It's an hour of your time. So welcome to the Brother Streep Show. Welcome to the Brother Streep Show.
Hello.
Hello.
Hey. Welcome to the Brother Streep Show. I'm Simon Streep.
I'm Dill Streep.
I am Andrew.
And we're not really here right now. No, it's probably worthwhile saying up front, just in case we don't mention any major things that might have happened in the last month, we are actually recording this early because I'm going to be away. Andrew's going to be raising a child.
Mm. What am I going to be doing, guys?
Working on my sweet voices.
Wait, can you raise one of my children?
Yeah, I'll take the new one.
Okay, sweet.
Yeah.
They just cry and poop a lot.
Yeah.
Is that that's fine? Is that what you want?
I watched A Quiet Place recently. Apparently a newborn can just, you know, be put in a box with a lid on, like, stuffed, and it'll be fine. There's monsters eating people around them, and they'll just sit there.
All right.
Chilled.
Wow.
Nice.
It's worthwhile saying,
yeah,
because based on when we're releasing this, it's very close to the South African elections. So go out there and vote.
Yeah.
Who are we to tell you who to vote for? I know all I've seen on my runs around this neighborhood are some posters.
Yeah.
And the posters haven't been exactly very insightful.
Okay.
I've seen the EFF poster.
I haven't.
And design-wise, it's the nicest.
Really?
It's got a nice font. It's mainly red with very bold yellow letters just saying, "Vote EFF!" Which is nice. It's no promises. I like that.
It's to the point.
Because often politicians, they've been known to lie. EFF are going, "We're not going to promise anything.
Yeah.
We're just going to make a direction." You know, and that is to vote for us. I like that.
What about Auntie Patty?
I quite like Auntie Patty, although it took me a very long time to figure out whether that was actually an election poster or just some other thing.
Just like, hey guys, just feel good. Just have a good day today, guys.
Yeah. For those who don't know what we're talking about, one of the people up and running for president is a woman called Patricia DeLille, who's now going by the name Auntie Pat.
Yeah.
To just soften.
Yeah.
So it gets casual.
You've it's got casual. An auntie in the politics business.
Auntie Patricia.
Thank you.
Very good.
I'm very glad you brought this up because I had a double take at one of the election posters this week. So I don't know if you've seen it, but there's the ACDP. They've got their posters up there. Mm-hmm. And their leader, at least
Thunderstruck.
Yeah. Their leader, at least in the past.
Yeah.
Is a guy, he's got like sort of salt and pepper hair,
yeah,
but he's also balding. All right, yeah. So he's got a receding hairline.
Okay.
Nothing wrong with that. The picture of him, okay, and he's also got a salt and pepper beard.
Yeah, right? Yeah.
The picture of him,
yeah,
has this like jet black full head of hair. So it's one of two things, yeah, because I haven't been able to see the poster up close.
Yeah.
Either, I mean, he's had a very odd-timed hair transplant and has chosen that for his picture.
Right.
Yeah.
Or he was wearing a hat that looks like a head of hair.
Or, third thing,
some kids could have gone up and vandalized the poster, yeah, but in like a really positive way, yeah, and just made it look a little bit nicer.
Well, those who don't know, the ACDP stands for... What does the A stand for? I know the C stands for Christian.
Ayo.
Yeah, it's the Ayo Christian
Democratic Party.
Democratic Party. Mm-hmm. And I know, because I don't know if it's the same guy, but there's definitely one of the people in the ACDP posters is wearing a hat. Like, it almost looks like it could be one of those French berets.
I think that's it. I think it must be a hat.
Which is also odd because I thought, you know, Christians weren't allowed to wear hats in church. Here he is.
He's not in church. He's on a pole next to the M5.
How did you mistake a beret for a full head of hair?
No, it really looks
How
like...
How fast
it,
were you going past this poster?
It looks like a terrible wig.
Okay.
Other posters are available. You know, I don't want to limit your choices to the ACDP or EFF. No. I know I saw one ANC poster. That was quite nice. Had Cyril's face in. He looked happy.
Almost too happy. Almost like suspiciously happy.
As if he's blissfully unaware of what's happening.
Yeah, like a big smile, but the eyes were slightly closed. Like, I know what's going on.
And then the DA are just all over this neighborhood. Mm. The other parties have kind of gone like, "We're pretty sure this is DA territory. We're not going to bother." DA is like, "No, no, no. We're going to make promises.
Yeah.
And so they got everything from like, we're going to promise that trains will happen and that police will happen. And I just, you know, just very skeptical of all the
claims. Reminds me of being in Grahamstown when like the biggest acts have put their posters up all over everywhere. Yeah. There's no place for the like street party, you know?
I think it's very much like an area control board game. The more posters you have up, you then control that area.
Okay, yep. Like Risk.
That's how it works.
Well, that means Pinocchio has currently got Belmont Bridge. I saw his post up. Live at the Baxter or something.
I've got a new favorite thing.
Okay. Yes.
It's traffic revenge.
Ooh.
Yeah. So in life, when you're driving, people come and go in and out of lanes. Sometimes it's philosophical. Sometimes somebody will join a lane up in front of you.
Yeah.
Sometimes they'll join a lane behind you. Sometimes you'll join a lane further up. Sometimes yes. You won't. There's a kind of ebb and flow, a oneness,
like a
unity.
Zen garden.
It is a Zen garden where somebody is pushing cars around with a big stick. And sometimes people get, you know, really, really uptight and like go bump to bumper with the car so that you can't merge.
So
I'm talking about lanes that need to merge.
Yeah. Yeah.
Oh, I thought you were talking about Richard Bolland.
Well, how so?
Well, he's just one of those guys that do that.
He's quite an aggressive driver.
He's an aggressive
Very
driver.
Very relaxed person, aggressive driver.
Really? Yeah.
Not afraid to say that.
Like he won't let somebody cut in?
You might. No, he'll probably let it happen, but then he will complain.
Yeah, it depends on the circumstances.
Oh, okay.
It's like, if he deems it, they may enter.
Right, it's up to him.
Yeah.
Well, this is the thing. I encountered two people quite recently that were frighteningly aggressive about not wanting to let me in. And okay. I don't go all the way to the end. I'm not like in the last 10%.
Yeah.
You're those like people who are like crossing over.
Barrier.
Yeah. Yeah, driving over curbs. Trying to join in. You know, it's the kind of more natural way of doing it. But this one woman was just looking straight at me going, and this is at like 8:30 in the morning. If your morning's starting out this angry and aggressive, that's gonna be a hard day.
It's gonna be a tough day.
You know, people need to just be a little more chilled in the morning. Yeah. The other guy was cursing and swearing, he had what looked like military insignia on his arms. So I thought, okay, well, I guess I'll fall back. Fall back.
Yeah.
Back of his car has like a rainbow stick on it. Now, that's like quite a loving and peaceful symbol. And yet, you know, he didn't have any time for me. But
but all those colors, they stay in their lanes.
So that's how true. Are you getting revenge on these people?
Well, so this is the thing. The other guy, I do. Okay, you don't get revenge on the person. You kind of get karma revenge on another person.
Oh, karma.
But I have had the situation where you're driving and a transgression has happened and then you notice that car and you're still with them for ages and you think, I wonder if something could happen down the line where I could get them back. And this totally happened. I got blocked out by a dude.
Yeah.
He could clearly see it. I was coming in, indicating for years, and didn't let me in. And we came to another section where suddenly I was in, you know, the driver's seat.
Yeah.
And didn't let him in either. And he had to sit for ages on the other side. And it was like, I felt genuine joy from this little moment. It's a weird thing.
I'm surprised, and I don't know how you would do this, but I'm surprised that we haven't yet invented a way to communicate with other cars, other than obviously, you know, the middle finger or the thumbs up, depending on what message you want to send out there. But I've always thought it'd be great if you had some way of just having like, you know, like a thing that displays text on the front of your car window. It would have to be in reverse so you could see it in the rearview mirror. That just could, you know, let someone know what you're thinking. So
you'd need somebody, a co-pilot, to be, you know, constantly typing
it
stuff.
It could be voice-activated these days.
Well, I was going to say, I mean, all you need is a megaphone.
It could work.
I think that would exacerbate things.
Well, just
if you're polite.
It would just be nice to be like, hey, man, thank you for letting me in, or hey, not cool, bro. Nice tires.
Yeah.
Or, oh, better get that exhaust checked out.
Really good drivers can portray all of that through a series of honks.
Morse code.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Hey, guy, nice tires. Beep, 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 beep. I believe you. I've got a new problem.
Oh, yeah?
It's very specific narcolepsy. I keep on falling asleep while trying to watch The Disappearance of Madeleine McCain on Netflix.
Jeez, that is a problem.
I mean, I'm on episode 2.
That's so insensitive.
And I've watched it twice. And I've fallen asleep in the same episode twice.
How can you go to sleep in such heart-wrenching material?
Well, already I know that she has not been found.
Spoiler.
Well, no, because the program begins with, if you have any information about the disappearance of Madeleine McCann, please contact, and it says a number. So already they're, you know, open hands. We know that she's still missing.
Right.
And that is very sad. But I'm also maybe less sad, though, that I keep on falling asleep during her program.
Both are sad, though.
Both are sad.
Okay.
One sadder than the other.
Sure.
You're clearly not enjoying it if you keep falling asleep. So why are you sad? Why don't you just move on to something else?
Well, I am moving on. I'm moving on to episode 3 because Netflix just plays it next. But I'm like, whoa, 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 Netflix.
Yeah.
I've still not done episode 2. Genuinely, I watched it, fell asleep, thought that ain't good. I'm going to start it again the next walk, like a week later. And I did it and I fell asleep again. And I'm wondering whether this isn't just a trick. Like Netflix are deliberately making like programs that lull you into sleep so that you just end up scaling through their programs, increasing their views. It's quite clever. I'm thinking maybe for the next Brother Street music video, we just do a series of lullabies.
Yeah.
And we, you know, very early on, people are asleep.
Song or piece of music that is usually played for children.
No,
Siri, you shall not continue. Sorry about that. Siri decided to join us.
When did you get a smart home? Can't say anything in here.
Should attach that to my car. Yeah, so maybe we just do a series of lullabies. People fall asleep in front of the computer.
Right.
And they sleep right through a good couple of videos. A lot of ads, get all that revenue, and we're sorted.
Or just shorter videos as well.
Yeah.
So the same amount of time person sleeping through, we could get through 30, 40 videos.
Ooh, I mean, that's pretty good.
I think that I'm going to get to the bottom of this case.
You're going to fight Madeleine McCann.
Your case.
Okay. I got excited there. Don't have to watch the series if you find her.
I think that your problem isn't Madeleine McCann related, nor is it Netflix's sneaky algorithms. It's the time of day that you've decided to watch this show.
Okay, you reckon earlier.
What time?
I'm watching it normally around 10-ish.
10-ish? That's not that...
In the morning, that's very early.
No, 10-ish at night.
Oh, right. Okay.
It's not
sometimes 11-ish. But yeah, it is a little bit early for me to be falling asleep. I will say that.
Yeah. The mystery continues.
Yeah, you're not selling it.
Do you think I should try watch the second episode again?
I think you should watch the Ted Bundy tapes.
Ooh, is that... I mean...
Much better.
Much better thing to fall asleep to.
Then that I shall do.
Liability.
Welcome to Liability, the Brother Streep cheap knockoff of the unbelievable truth. In this round, we will all give a little talk on a subject. We will hide 5 true things in that talk, but the rest will all be nonsense. It's up to others to figure out what that nonsense is and what that truth is. So basically, if you hear something that sounds true, buzz in.
Like this.
Very good. Who wants to go first? Andrew, I feel like it's been a while since I heard your beautiful voice.
All right, so I'll go first, and my lecture is entitled Hamsters.
Hamsters. All right. I quite like hamsters.
Let's do it.
Hamsters are known as one of the most vicious killers in the animal kingdom. Most feared by the king of the savannah, the lion, they roam around at night striking terror into man and beast alike.
Beep.
Yes, Simon.
I think they might roam around at night. They might be nocturnal beings.
Well, that is correct.
Yes.
That is very true. They are nocturnal. The German word for hamster translates as kickable muffin. Hamsters have a keen sense of smell and remarkable eyesight, allowing them to spot their prey. Dylan.
I think they'd have remarkable eyesight.
Oh, that's not true.
Is it not?
Can I continue the...
You can, but I'm going to preempt a beep. You can still continue it and say that they have an incredible sense of
allowing
smell.
Them to spot their prey from a great height before swooping down for the kill.
Well, I obviously wouldn't have said it after that.
Smell?
Is true.
Yes.
Always give your hamster copious amounts of caffeine and alcohol. They love it. Contrary to popular belief, hamsters need an incredible amount of exercise. And if...
You've got to get a point at some point. I think that they would like, or love, as you say, caffeine?
I know.
Oh, they don't. They don't love it.
And if a hamster is fed without having his trademarked hamster wheel, he will swell up and explode in a matter of days. Hamsters have a very complicated means of food storage, which involves creating tiny parcels of chewed, regurgitated morsels and storing them in tiny pyramids next to their place of sleep. Be sure to keep your hamster clean by rolling it around in the dust after giving it a full body massage with traditional hamster moisturizer.
Beep.
Yes, Simon.
There could be something true about hamsters keeping clean by rolling around in the dust.
That is true.
Yes.
With proper care, hamsters can live to be 300 years old. Hamsters are natural explorers, which is why there are two breeds named Livingston and Stanley in their honor.
Yes. Would that be true?
What?
That.
No, that is incorrect.
Is it incorrect?
That is incorrect.
I was asking, could it be true? I didn't say it was.
And that's the end of my lecture.
Wow. I mean, I feel like there is probably something like they like alcohol or one of those ones around that time, but it's too late to buzz in. So how many did you sneak past us there?
I snuck two facts past you guys. The one is that they need an incredible amount of exercise. And the other is that they are natural explorers.
Wow. This exercise, define an incredible amount of exercise.
Yeah, it's incredibly vague for a fact.
they need constant exercise, which is why you give them a hamster wheel.
Incredible.
Yeah. Ah.
All right.
You got to walk them like a dog, except they're not a dog. They get a wheel. They're like a tiny yo-yo, self-powered.
Well, at the end of that round, Dylan is coming last with -3.
Mm. I can still come back.
You can come back. Andrew's got 2.
Mm.
And I've got 3.
Nice.
Yay!
All right. My lecture is called Electricity because, you know, Eskom and stuff.
Okay.
Electricity was invented by Benjamin Franklin in the 18th century. He would run up and down the passage in his socks and give small electric shocks to his parents who were trying to enjoy the evening news on Channel 4. The word electricity comes from the original Pig Latin, electricitile, which translated roughly means electricity. An anode on a battery asked whether the cathode was sure. The cathode was positive. An ad
beep,
agency.
Beep, 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 beep.
Yes.
Cathode is positive.
A cathode is positive.
No.
An ad agency attempted to have the rock band Queen release a version of Bohemian Rhapsody with the line "Thunderbolts and lightning, very, very whitening," referring to a new toothpaste they were launching.
Beep.
Did I hear Andrew beep before?
No, I didn't beep.
It was just a laugh.
That's possible that that's true.
It's not true. That's my laugh. The world's longest lightning bolt was 123 kilometers long. The largest blackout affected 620 million people, and the highest voltage that somebody survived was 34 million volts.
Beep.
Oof. That's a photo finish.
Wow. I think Andrew was first. What really? You go for, yeah.
That's a strategy. You can take it. You can step onto the mine.
But I think it's the middle one.
Which is the largest blackout.
Yes, yeah.
That is true.
Hey.
What?
Would you have said that?
You got a beep. You beep.
I definitely
would.
You've
got an answer.
You did put a beep in.
Well, I'm going to go for then the third one.
It's not true. The concept of a light bulb appearing over one's head to symbolize a new idea was made popular by, believe it or not, Mickey Mouse. When Mickey was thinking, symbols and letters would sometimes appear over his head, which called back to iconic photographs of Thomas Edison with his invention, the light bulb.
Beep. Well, it's possible that...
There's a lot in there.
There's a lot in there.
So you got to pick one thing.
Well, don't tell me what to do.
Yeah.
I might pick two things.
Pick the wrong thing.
You can pick as many things as you want as individual guesses.
I'm going to pick that Thomas Edison invented the light bulb.
I don't think you even said that.
You did say that at the very end.
I did say that at the very end.
I would not have picked that.
Do you want to pick something else?
I didn't beep.
Do you want to beep?
No.
Why? Simon, that's correct.
What? Yes.
Thomas Edison.
No.
He's credited with it.
Yeah, but he didn't, though, did he?
But he's credited with it.
Yeah, but he didn't.
He stole it. Plenty of photos of him as the inventor of the light idea. Bulb.
Point fair and square, though. Even so. Jokes on you.
I asserted that truth. It's in bold. It's in bold. Early suicide attempts before the toaster was invented proved futile as people would drop the equivalent at the time, a small fire for warming bread, into their baths. They would go out immediately and would... and then they would just remain walking this mortal coil, much like the coil that is used to conduct electricity in modern electromagnets.
Beep, beep.
Oh, damn it.
That's just a race, really.
I would say that that is correct. The coil.
The suicide attempt.
No, the coil.
Yeah, the coil is true.
Yes.
Electric eels are, in fact, not eels, but knife fish, and use organs made up of electrolytes, which conduct a small electric charge.
Yes, that one.
What?
The eels, the organs.
That's not true.
Oh, no.
Electrolytes are those drinks you drink after running.
True.
Sure know that, Andrew.
Ursula's electric eels in the Little Mermaid film are called Riptide and Backrush. The first fully electric car runs on 7,000 AA batteries. And when its power starts to fail, all you need to do is flip it over and run your hand along all of them. This can take several minutes.
Can I say that that one of the eels from Ursula was called Riptide?
I think that's not true. I beeped there.
Yeah.
Is that... if you were to run your hand over 7,000 batteries, it would take several minutes. That's what I'm beeping on.
I mean, it's not one. I guess it's something, I don't want to have to lose anything for that.
I'll take zero on that, if that's possible.
You can take nothing for that. That's the end of my lecture.
Yay!
Wow, did you manage to sneak anything through?
I snuck one thing past.
Yes!
They are not eels. They are knife fish.
Oh. Ah, yeah. Fancy that.
Yeah.
All right. Well, at the end of Dylan's little talk and Andrew's little talk, the scores are as follows. Dylan is on -2. I am at 2. And Andrew is first with 3. Boo, Andrew.
Oh, yeah.
I'm coming back.
It's a good thing I'm about to get all 5 facts.
No chance. Thing.
All right. My lecture is on violins. Violins were invented around 1000 BCE by King David of David and Goliath fame. He was so proud of his invention that he wouldn't stop talking about it, so much so that it was said that he harped on about it, which led to the mistranslation of David playing the harp in the Old Testament and not the violin, which he did. Other famous violinists from history include Archimedes, Leonardo da Vinci, and Tony Danza.
I think...
beep.
What's that?
Beep.
Oh, you're beeping too?
Yeah.
I think that Leonardo da Vinci would have played the violin.
You're incorrect. Kerr.
Yeah, I'm going to go with Archimedes.
You're incorrect.
Oh, no. Please don't say it was
Danza.
Can't
be Danza.
Oh, I'm not beeping, though. I'm not brave enough.
I've got nothing. It's Tony Danza.
No, it's not Tony Danza.
Damn, damn, damn.
Last year, the New York Times listed playing the violin as one of the recent exercise fads, leading Apple to update their watch to include a new workout setting for violin playing so that you can track the 170 calories you burn each hour.
I think that's fact. All what, of it. What 170 calories an hour playing violin.
You are
that's a good
correct.
Yay!
Other famous sports activities with violins include violin javelin, a once-off event inspired by a bad batch of violins from a factory in Auckland, New Zealand. Violin cricket, another once-off event because of the factory never learning their lesson. And then that time a man cycled backwards playing a violin for 60.45 Beep. Kilometers.
Oh, no. 60.45 kilometers. I'm going to not... beep on that and take one of the other ones.
Fair enough.
Which other one are you going to take there, Kerr?
60.45 kilometers. That's doable.
Riding backwards on a bicycle.
I reckon. If you got into the swing of things, it was a nice straight road.
It does sound like one of those ones where a guy wants a record and looks up things that haven't been done yet.
Yeah, that dude bagpipes in the Darth Vader costume on a unicycle, so
wow.
Is it so mad? I'm gonna. It's the worst. It's the worst. I've got three terrible choices. Yeah, I'm gonna go for it.
The cycling. Man cycled backwards playing a violin for 60.45 kilometers.
Who cares?
You're correct.
Yes.
Didn't you beep in there?
No. I just kept laughing at Andrew.
The word violin comes from the medieval Latin word vitula, meaning vile tune. Because even back then,
I agree,
only 1% of all people who could play the violin could actually play the violin.
Terrible instrument.
The stick used to...
I think it might have something to do with that vitula word.
What precisely?
Like, that's where the word from violin comes from?
Meaning vile tune.
No, just that the word violin comes from a Latin word called vitula.
You're correct.
Yay! Oh, nice.
The stick used to play the violin is commonly called a nine iron. Although most agree that Mendelssohn's violin concerto sounds better with a sand wedge. The stick, or bow, as hardly anyone likes to call it, is made up of human hair found exclusively...
It's a bow. It's called a bow.
Yeah, but I said a bow as hardly anyone likes to call it.
It's true.
But it is called a bow.
I didn't beep for that very reason.
But some people do call it that, because that's its name.
No, but nobody... likes to call it that. He's turning it into a lie.
He said hardly any.
Yeah, but everyone calls it that.
Not everyone. People who don't know it don't call it that.
They call it a nine iron.
But I know it's called a bow.
I'm afraid I can't give you a point for that.
What?
In fact, I feel like you've used up your no points.
Yeah. What? That's a minus point there. Listen to my words.
I've been robbed.
Okay, it's made up of human hair found exclusively in shower drains.
Gross.
Violin strings are made up of nylon, steel, and sheep gut, and the wood of the violin itself is made from coffins that are no longer needed because the deceased has risen from the dead.
Yeah, that's definitely true.
Legendary drummer Vanessa May invented a clever way of tying violin strings to the tuning peg called the Vanessa May knot. In 2000, she performed at the 2001 Winter Paralympics.
I don't think it was in 2000, but I think she did perform at the 2001 Winter Paralympics.
You're incorrect. And later competed in the 2014 Winter Olympics.
I think that's definitely true.
That is true.
She competed. I get nothing for those two things.
She did. She competed in the 2014 Winter Olympics.
Oh, not Paralympics.
No.
Oh, okay.
Unfortunately, playing a violin is not a disability.
That's your opinion.
Snakes prefer violins to flutes because... Oh, wait. Snakes prefer violins to flutes, but snake charmers use flutes because snakes are evil and shouldn't get what they want.
Beep. Snakes prefer violins to flutes?
Nope.
I mean, how would you know that?
Google.
How could that be a fact?
Google.
Quantifiable fact.
Violins are still considered incredibly offensive in most countries around the world, which is why whenever they're featured in movies, the film is always rated 16 with a V for violence.
Yeah. Very good.
That is my lecture.
Very good. Very sneaky.
I didn't manage to sneak anything past you guys. So
really?
You got them all.
Oh, yeah. I'm surprised.
All right. Well, that round shuffled up the scores like nobody's business.
Disappointing.
Drum roll, please. Dylan is on -2.
Consistent.
Andrew is on 1. And I am on 2.
Very well done.
Very well done. Boop.
And that was Liability.
I can be found in stripping around.
This stuff's always happening to me.
What stuff, Andrew? You tried this last month. It didn't work. Are you trying this again?
Yeah. Well, you know, that's how the story ends. So let's see how we get there.
He's a great mystery writer.
This is a toilet story.
Oh, yes. You haven't had one for a while.
Yeah. This podcast is known for its toilet stories. We have some of the best toilet stories because we are willing to tell them. No one else will, but we will. So this is a toilet story that happens at work.
It happens at work. So this happens quite often. This is not just a once-off.
It happened at work. I'll say it again. Okay, but there's potential for it to happen again.
Ooh, I like that.
You're only human.
So this is a sit-down toilet story.
Okay.
All right.
So I am sitting down, so that's good.
Yeah. Thanks for warning us.
So I was seated. All right. And the bathroom is sort of, it's the sort of general bathroom for all the factory staff. All right.
Okay.
And so I was there.
Boy, you tell good stories.
And, riveting. I mean, I'm riveted right now. I'm at the edge of my toilet seat.
And at this stage, the building was being painted.
Sure.
Okay.
Okay.
So the front of the building was being painted.
The porcelain was being painted.
No. Anyway, you know, not a
problem.
You've
got notes. You're looking at notes.
Not a problem.
Tell your story.
This was a while ago. The bathrooms, they have high windows.
Oh yeah. You know,
not even I could look out of them, right?
All right, so could you look out of them while you're standing?
No, not even.
So when you're seated, there's no chance of you looking out
no
of them?
No chance. No chance of anyone...
Any chance of someone looking in?
Well, there's no chance of someone looking in if they're standing outside. Not a hope.
Okay.
All right. But if they fly a drone past, have I guessed where the story's going?
No, you haven't.
Down.
Because...
Because it's going nowhere.
because they were painting outside,
yeah.
As I sat down and just got comfy, right?
Yeah.
They rolled the scaffolding that they were using to paint the upper story directly over me. I look over my shoulder, hearing this sort of rumbling, rolling sound.
Yeah.
And he's right there.
Nice.
He's looking directly at me.
Okay.
Well, no. He could have been looking directly at me. Fortunately, he wasn't. He was focusing on his painting. Now, I don't know. I do not know if he took a sneaky peek. All right.
Well, let's just say he did, so that there's some stakes to this thing.
All right, he took a sneaky peek. It would have been an over-the-shoulder, so he wouldn't have seen much.
If you're sat upon the toilet, there's not much he's really seeing, unless you have a very weird way of sitting on the toilet.
Well, you don't face the front?
you know, this stuff's always happening to me.
Come inside the Brother Street Warehouse of Rejected Ideas.
Welcome to the Warehouse of Rejected Ideas, everyone.
Thanks.
You know, just swinging open this massive door. It's a warehouse door.
That was the sound of the door opening.
Was it?
Or it could have been that old door opened on a cat.
And, you know, this is where we just put our rejected ideas. Today, we've decided that we're going to reject some ideas for bad things for babies. Toddlers, ooh, because Andrew is with baby and toddler.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Well, I mean, I've got one thing here that I've thought of.
Yeah.
And this, I think, would be pretty bad.
Well, let us be the judge of that.
All right. It requires a little bit of discipline to do it. First, you'd need to train a Komodo dragon. So, to find a Komodo dragon, I mean, they're not really knocking about you, are they?
I saw some in Thailand once.
Yeah. You might have to go to Thailand and find a Komodo dragon, bring it back here, and then train it. But what you need to do is train it to look after your baby, all right, when you're out the room, and and get the dragon, right, to make a noise if something happens to the baby, because then you have a baby monitor lizard.
Very good. That's fun. I thought you were going to go with how to train your dragon to train your baby or something. Monitor lizard.
Baby monitor lizard. I mean, Andrew, do you think that would work?
What's
the worst that could happen?
Don't they have like incredibly corrosive bites?
If they bite you, you'll
die from infection rather than the bite itself.
Listen, don't talk to me about bites that get infected. Okay. In fact, actually do,
because
I'd like to know more.
But you should see how they nurture their young, Andrew.
Really?
Yeah. I don't know.
Okay.
You should see if they do before you implement this crazy idea.
Are they trainable? I mean, I've never seen them domesticated.
You can train anything.
Can you?
Yeah, I'm pretty sure.
Yeah.
Idiot's guide to training Komodo dragons to look after your babies?
Yeah. Look, I think it's worth seeing if you can train them just so you can, you know, on the infomercial sell the baby monitor lizard. it's gonna kick off.
I like it.
I think
rejected.
Oh yeah, rejected. I think that those parents who dress their kids and their rooms up to look like things that
are in the parents' interests because the baby is a newborn and has no interests of its own other than where's the milk coming from. I think they're the worst.
Okay.
Star Wars, Batman, My Little Pony, these rooms and clothes for kids.
My Little Phony.
My Little Phony, that's what Andrew said.
Bratman.
Do a Star Wars one.
Fast Wars.
Nice.
Diminishing returns, that line of thinking.
Well, anyway, the rejected idea is what if those interests were truly terrifying? Like somebody who was super into Saw, the franchise, and dressed the baby's room up like the room from the first Saw with a little dead body in the middle. Or is he? Spoiler alert.
Well, that is a spoiler.
Blood all over the walls. You know, it's going to affect a child.
Horrible.
The new alien baby grow with film realistic chest bursting alien.
Well, what's nice is if you have a home birth, just don't clean up afterwards. and you've already done it.
It's like the hotel room in The Shining after the elevators have opened. What do you think?
Look, I think it would be interesting because I don't think the baby would necessarily be affected by it. Oh, wait, what? It would. Dexter, born in blood.
Exactly. You'd start having a code, dark passenger.
Unless it could cause other things. Maybe the baby would start having nightmares about really pleasant things.
You know? Like the inverse.
And it's easier, It's easier to raise them. Like, daddy had a terrible dream the other day. I saw flowers.
Yeah.
Okay, well, that's good.
Maybe if my folks did that to me, I wouldn't be so scared of horror movies.
Yeah.
You are terrified of horror movies.
Yes.
Yeah, just introduce them at a young age.
Exactly.
Are we saying this isn't a rejected idea all of a sudden?
No.
Dead bodies?
Rejected.
Okay.
Yeah, I think it's rejected.
Well, my idea is that, you know, babies, they need a lot of stimulation and attention. And let's be honest, that is exhausting, right? So, introducing baby VR. Just pop the headset on your baby and the virtual reality mom and dad take over. You know, it'll... with a little bit of software, it'll superimpose your face onto the kind of the 3D model of the dad and
like
mom.
A Wii avatar.
Yeah, and it'll, you know, it's still you, but is it? you don't have to be there. You can just pop back every now and again with a bottle of milk and you're good to go.
Yeah, I like this idea quite a lot.
I mean, this idea particularly sounds like it could be a groundbreaking invention. It's almost like, what's it doing in this warehouse?
I was going more Black Mirror.
I just don't know what the negative effects of this would be.
You haven't let him get to the point where it's, why do these things keep happening to me? I assume the story takes a turn for the worse.
Well, I've got one more idea.
Okay. I assumed incorrectly.
It's a music playing, you know, like a soother.
You can't invent the CD player.
Yeah. No. It's been done. It's called.
No, it packs 1,000 albums on it now, and it fits in your pocket.
Oh, okay. You can't invent the iPod or Zune, Andrew.
Okay, all right. It's called Rockabye, Your Baby, and it just plays rock music to your baby to try and get them to sleep.
Yeah,
that's it.
That would be rejected. What music does your child listen to, Andrew, your current child?
Well, there's one CD over and over again.
What CD is that?
Well, we call it Froggy.
What is it actually called?
Megadeth.
It's from a group, like a play group, and it's just got a collection of nursery rhymes.
All right. What's her favorite song?
She really likes Old MacDonald and Twinkle Twinkle Little Star.
Old MacDonald's a tough one to really like because that goes on forever.
Yeah.
Twinkle Twinkle Little Star at least ends. Old MacDonald had a lot of animals. Story.
Yeah, it's true. But, you know, that's what she's into.
So what you want is Rockabye for you, basically.
Yes.
To drown out Froggy.
Yes.
Okay. And maybe some VR glasses.
How Froggy works, and hopefully this is not copyright infringement, but the lyrics are, where is Froggy?
Yeah.
Where is Froggy?
Yeah.
Where is Froggy?
Yeah.
Where has Froggy gone?
Yeah.
Wait, how's that Old MacDonald?
That's the Froggy song.
Okay, but she doesn't necessarily like that one.
No, she does like that one. She sings along to that one too.
So,
it's not highbrow stuff.
Presumably, if you know, in that scenario,
where has Froggy gone?
Well, it's in the CD player, surely. It's like Froggy's right here. I'm listening to Froggy. This is actually misleading.
Froggy ends up on the doorstep.
On the doorstep?
Yeah. He ends up on the doorstep. He rings the doorbell somehow.
I reckon if Simon had to watch a documentary about where is Froggy gone, he'd fall asleep.
Yeah, I'm almost falling asleep at this section of the podcast. Next idea is me! Twist. All right, so this, I'm not too sure if this is really a rejected idea because it actually might be genius or could be incredibly offensive.
All right.
I don't know which one.
I have a guess.
All right, so breastfeeding in public has become a thing that's frowned upon by some people, which I feel is unfair.
I thought it was the opposite. I thought it was becoming more and more unfrowned upon.
No, every now and again, there's more like people going, oh, how could that be happening? And other people going, because it's literally giving a child life.
Yeah.
Get over it. But yeah. I think there's still people that, you know, are complaining.
Right.
And I've figured out something that could maybe, you know, break the tension maybe in those scenarios. So this is not necessarily for baby. But you know, when you go to those party shops and they have those fake breasts that you can buy. Now, one's if, as a breastfeeding mom, you just kept like three or four of those like on your person at all times.
Yeah.
And then when you need a breastfeed, take those out, give them to the people around you to wear, divert the attention away from you. You could even, I've thought about this, you could potentially put one on yourself, just cut a hole in the nipple,
right,
feed your baby through it, and then everyone kind of
wins. What society are we living in where you have to put your breasts inside fake breasts so that you can feed your baby in public?
Look, I don't think it's right, but I do think maybe this would make everyone involved in this debate at least go, yeah, this is stupid.
yeah. Realize how dumb the whole thing is. I think it would be a constant, are those real breasts? Are those party breasts? Why are those party breasts here in Checkers?
I don't think it was like a high stock item either. Like you probably only find one or two in the shop. You need to order them in from China.
What's the idea here? A pair of scissors. What have you brought to the table here? Party breasts. They exist.
Yeah, party breasts.
Yeah, but they don't exist for this express purpose.
He's invented
express purpose. Nice.
That's it.
Well, what is that?
The quiz.
Dylan. Sorry. It's just last month you kind of set us up to leave you out, so I thought I was going to leave you out. I thought
you
Simon
left
would.
Out.
I know. I ended up being left out.
But I feel, to be fair to you and your instincts there, I don't think Kerr said the in the word the quiz. I think he only came in at quiz.
I came in at quiz.
I always say the quiz.
Sometimes barely, though.
Listen back. Right, well, this month's quiz is the Berlin quiz. Ich bin ein Berliner.
Ich bin ein
Guten
Berliner.
Tag. It's German.
Yep, I'm in.
I know everything there is to know about Berlin.
Well, this is going to be incredibly difficult for me then.
For example, Sting once performed there in a concert called Live in Berlin.
Ah, yes. It's true.
Wow. Okay, well, we're going to start with round wonderful Berlin.
Good. I mean, wunderbar could have worked.
I should have said wunderbar.
Yeah.
Wunderbar.
Wunderbar.
Okay, and this round is testing your general knowledge of this wunderbar city. So, question one is, the annual International Berlin Festival of what runs 2.2 kilometers, making it the longest worldwide? What is the festival about?
Festival Simon. Is about beer.
Is correct. That is correct.
Yes!
Question two. In Berlin's posh shopping district off of Friedrichstrasse, you can actually receive what expensive thing right out of an ATM?
Beep.
Simon.
Diamonds.
Is incorrect.
And gold.
Is the right answer, Dylan.
Yes. I mean, come
on.
A
gold ATM.
Unbelievable.
Why would you want that?
Well, probably to draw gold.
But why would you want to draw... What are you going to do with it?
Spend it.
On what?
It's really valuable.
So is money.
Not as valuable as gold.
Depends how much you have, I guess.
Well, if you had also, that amount of gold, it would be worth more.
If you're planning on going pirate shipping, you're going to want an ATM that can dispense gold.
Yeah.
It's no good to they board your pirate ship. Oh, what you got there? Oh, Fritos.
Tens and twenties.
I don't want your Fritos.
I like to think that you've bought your bullion and then it gives you the change in like smaller bullions.
Yes.
Drops down.
I like to think about that too.
I like to think that what's happened is you always go for the one gold doubloon that looks like it's already a little bit out of the vending machine.
Oh, you give it
so
a
that there's a
check.
Chance that you'll get two gold doubloons. Yeah. That's how doubloons work.
We should go to Berlin. Shake up some vending machines. That's an ATM. Right, question three. Every year, the city spends how much on cleaning graffiti off its walls, the vandals? Simon.
Well, closest obviously, answer wins. It closest always spends 2.3 million... I don't know what German people
okay,
use.
Okay, let's go euros.
Euros, 2.3 million euros.
No. I'm going to say it's less than that, just any number less than that.
Can you give me a number?
1 or 2 million.
Okay. Well,
but I also want to say, as a side answer, and I think this is worth more of a point, they don't have graffiti on their walls anymore since the wall came down.
Wow, that's deep.
Hectic, hey? That is deep.
But they also do graffiti on other walls.
Yeah, there are other walls. Yeah.
Sure.
Yeah. 2 million?
Yeah. They didn't go, all right, we've got the one down.
Yeah.
Let's
it was such
rest.
A celebration.
Let's do the rest of the city.
Everyone was so stoked when he brought this wall down.
We don't need boundaries.
What will hold up our roofs? You guys say roofs, right?
Well, the correct answer was 35 million, so Simon gets
what?
The point.
Yeah. Well, that
I'm
is
sorry.
A lot of
that
euros.
That was too loud. I'm sorry.
Okay. That was a lot of euros.
We're going to move on to round two, which is top three turvy. Now, I've looked on TripAdvisor and
I can't believe it's that much. Sorry, I'm still on round one.
Yeah, it is.
35 million euros to
it's
get
a lot
rid
of money.
Of,
yeah, they're just constantly rubbing off swatch stickers.
Yeah, fair enough.
Yeah, probably true.
It's a daily hassle.
So we're gonna you're going to have to rank the top three attractions in the city, according to TripAdvisor.
Yeah.
All right. Is the Berlin Wall likely to still be one? Considering it was taken down. Did they take down all of it? Or
well, let's find out, shall we?
Yeah.
Here we go. So, here are the four options. You've got to guess the top three, but there's one that is a bit of a dummy. Okay? It is on the list, but it's not made up.
Okay.
But it's...
it's lower
it's
down.
It's not top three. Yeah, yeah. So, here we go. The Memorial of the Berlin Wall.
Mm-hmm. Ah, okay. Right.
The Reichstag building, which is a big glass dome. All right.
Mm-hmm. Uh-huh.
The Topography of Terror, which is an exhibition of the HQ of the secret police, the Nazis, the SS.
Ooh, that sounds fascinating.
Yeah.
And the
wouldn't fall asleep in that.
And the Brandenburg Gate, which is a big monument. Very, very famous, iconic monument.
Oh, how famous?
It's very famous.
Top three famous? Can I go with famous. Wall first?
All right.
Monument second.
Okay.
What was the other one that wasn't the topography one?
It was a big glass dome.
Topography one.
Okay, so wall in one.
Oh, come on.
Wall in one, gate in,
two.
Second.
Topography
third. Topography
third,
okay. Yeah. Simon?
All right. I think the topography one sounds the most interesting, but I think that might be lower down the list because not everyone finds that stuff interesting. I'm going to go for the glass thing as number one. I'm going to go for the Berlin Wall as number two. And then I think that leaves me with...
It's either the topography or the gate.
The gate is number three.
Okay. Well, Dylan, you got 1 point because the Topography of Terror was in third place.
Awesome. Oh.
So Simon nailed it because in first place is the Reichstag building, big glass dome.
Yes.
Second place is the memorial to the Berlin Wall.
Yes.
Very
so you
interesting.
Get,
people love a dome.
It's just... 5 points.
They just love a dome. That's just what they dig.
And the Brandenburg Gate was only in seventh place. So there we go.
People hate a gate.
It's true.
Right, we're going to move on to round three, which is Taste Victory. You get two guesses. Okay, and let me be more clear than I was last month, is that if you beep first, you
people
will get...
have written in and complained. Yeah. Mainly it was just Dylan writing in every day complaining.
Yeah, I do
first,
complain a lot.
If you beep first, you get the first guess once I've started reading them. All right. And... and then it'll go to the other person. They'll get a guess. And then it'll alternate,
all right.
Basically.
Beep.
All right. I said once I've started reading.
No, well, I feel like he just threw your rules right back in your
he
face.
Did, didn't he?
With a bit of spit.
He did.
Beep. He did.
I
he did.
In first.
No, I haven't started reading them yet. You didn't listen to me.
No, he's going to say... No, he's going to say what it is.
Yeah. I'm going to say
do you
what
mean?
It is.
He's just going to say what it is.
Yeah.
All right.
You can read off... Bratwurst. Go for
Bratwurst.
It.
Bratwurst. Yeah, that's number one. So you get 5 points.
Yes.
5 points. Yeah. I thought it was 2 points.
It's in first place, so he gets 5 points.
Oh my gosh. Well, I'd like them to be red, please. It's this round.
Yes. I actually got the rules wrong. You have to guess them. Yeah.
Oh, well, then nothing counts.
Well, he guessed number one. I didn't tell him that. He guessed it.
Yeah.
That is correct.
Pretzel?
Pretzel is not on the list. Great. I'm sorry.
Beep. It's going to be some sort of beer. Must be.
Beer is not on the list.
What? Bockwurst.
What?
Bockwurst.
What's Bockwurst?
Another kind of wurst.
No, that's not on there.
Weisswurst.
What's? There's no more wursts.
I tried some wursts recently,
yeah?
And they were the best.
Well, there's no more wursts. You've got to, if you just throw out
sauerkraut.
Some...
Sauerkraut.
Is incorrect.
Charcuterie.
What is that?
I think it's more versed, actually.
It seems like all you know is versed, so I'm just going to give you the list.
No. Okay, we can do this more things.
Okay. We can do this. We've got
hot dog.
That's kind of a versed.
Yeah. I just sort of thought, isn't that like a German hot dog?
Versed. Okay, I'm going to beep in with...
Well, beep in then.
Yeah, no, I'm just going to beep in right now.
He hasn't beeped
bread.
In.
Bread. There's probably a bread that
please
they do.
Beep in if you're going to beep in.
Bread. Some sort of bread.
No.
German pudding.
What? No, there's no German pudding.
What do you mean?
Do they have German pudding?
Yeah, pavlova.
Not on the list.
Pavlova?
Name a meat.
Pork.
Yes.
Yeah.
What pork?
I think I know.
Pork, I already said. Ice bine.
Is the right answer. You get 2 points because I was in fourth place.
Only fourth. I feel like we should know this because we've gone to the Brauhaus like a couple of times.
Well, I don't think you're going to get the rest. In second place...
Hold on. Oh. I've only just remembered everything.
Okay.
Flammkuchen.
No.
Kesches something.
What's that?
It's like a thing.
What's it?
No, I know what it is.
What's it?
Schnitzel. Schnitzel.
No, not on the list.
Damn it. Kesches...
What is that?
I read it the other day.
It's not on my list.
Oh. Curry?
I'm out. Okay. I've seen what happened to Dylan. He went mad. I'm out of this.
Peas.
No, peas. No. All right. So we've got the chamusa doner, which is a doner kebab in second place. We've got Seinfair, which is hard boiled eggs with
Jerry Seinfair
in mustard sauce. I think it's actually Seinfair. Sorry. Mm. And in fifth place, it's
wait. Oh, what was it in mustard sauce?
Hard boiled eggs.
No. Carry on. I thought you said pretzel.
And in fifth place, it is the Königsberger Klopser, which is meatballs. So,
Klopser?
At this point in the quiz, we're going to move on to round four, which is the past and the curious.
We're just going to carry on with the quiz at this point. Fair enough.
So, these questions are all about the history of the city. Question one is, the Berlin Wall was erected overnight, but how did they achieve this?
Beep.
Simon.
Slavery.
No, is correct.
Paper mache.
Incorrect.
Beep.
But you are correct in that it was not a cement wall at first.
Yeah.
Beep.
Simon.
It was a wooden wall.
No.
Stop with your wooden things. It's quite hard to say. Dead bodies, wasn't it?
No.
Oh, okay.
No, more functional in wartime.
Beep. More wartime?
Yeah.
It was...
We see it on fences all the time.
Barbed wire wall.
Is the correct answer.
Mm.
Okay.
That question, clue helped a lot.
Yeah.
Question, question two.
Because either barbed wire or, an election poster. So,
Okay, question two is, when the Soviets blockaded West Berlin on June 24...
That was a fun quiz.
24, it's history, 1948. What did the Americans start to do about it? How did they help?
They became allies.
No, well, I mean...
Oh,
no.
That's right. Though,
they were allies in what they did.
They
what did they do to help the
to
people who were blockaded?
Beep, they gave them food.
They did, but how did they do it?
Snail mail.
That's incorrect. They airdropped food?
Is the correct answer. You have not beeped.
Beep, they airdropped food.
I did hear that my beep, though.
Yeah, I did, but he beeped first.
Well, he didn't.
He did, though. So they airlifted. They provided food, clothing, water, medicine, and other necessities of life.
Are they airlifted and airdropped? Complete opposites?
Yes. No, they're not. For over 2 million fearful citizens of the city for nearly a year.
You lift something
American
and you drop
planes.
Something. It's the complete
American
opposite.
American planes landed around the clock over 2,000.
Oh, they landed and gave it to them. They didn't drop it on them from the air. That's interesting, because Simon definitely had the thing in his head from Worms, the computer game, where it came in via parachute, and that's not the right answer.
Look, I mean,
it's close enough.
They airlifted it.
I've heard rappers often go, "I'm going to lift it like it's hot." So, you know, it's obviously lift and drop. Oh, you know, you can just interchange them.
Okay.
Well, we're going to move on to question three.
My balls lifted when I was really young.
There we go. To the nearest hundred. To the nearest hundred.
Yeah.
I've already given you a help there.
Right. To the nearest hundred.
How many bridges does Berlin have? Clue, it has more than Venice. That must help you a lot.
Wow. Well, to the nearest hundred.
Is that your clue? Or is that in the question somehow? Where do you get these questions?
I've added that as a clue.
Beep.
What do you mean, where do I get these questions?
Yes.
Why are you asking me about the background of the quiz now?
Well, I'd like to know.
This is not the time.
Where did you come up with the question? How many bridges does Berlin have? Clue, it has more than Venice.
Yeah, you know.
Bridges.com.
It was part of the
did
question.
Did you just know stuff about bridges?
No, it was helpful to look online.
The guy who made Bridges.com got a Nobel Peace Prize.
What can you answer the question? Someone's buzzed. Who you beat? Simon.
You know, you just missed that. You're all admin and you've missed a good joke there. Just a solid joke. You will not hear it again.
I'll go back and listen to it.
Yeah, probably. All right, so I'm going to guess that it is... Oh, actually, I say guess. I'm going to say with fairly absolute certainty to the nearest hundred that they have... 1,700 bridges.
Right.
Okay. I guess I'll say they've got 3,100 bridges.
You really overshot there. They have 960 bridges.
Oh, I was hoping it would be like somewhere in between.
Yes! Simon gets another point there.
So it'd be really hard for you to figure out.
And
I should have said they had no bridges.
Ah.
Then it would have been closer.
I can reveal... At this point,
I'd have been closer if I said no bridges. Damn it.
If you said Jeff Bridges, you would have been closer. I can reveal at this point in the quiz that I forgot to prepare Citizen Fame.
What?
So this is the end of the quiz.
No, well, just quiz us on Adolf.
So at this point in the quiz, which is the end of the quiz, maybe I'll do an extra Berlin person in the next one.
Yeah.
That Simon has run away with the quiz at 15 points to 4.
Well, I don't think that's really the case. Simon. Because, firstly, he beeped incorrectly for his 5 points earlier. And secondly, it's your fault there isn't a last question. So maybe there should be like a 10 or a 12 point in it last question.
Wow. I mean, that really seems like a question devised to suit you in every possible way.
Yeah.
So I do apologize for that, quiz listeners.
I mean, look, it's okay by me. Don't be so hard on yourself, Andrew.
It just seems like such a letdown.
Our podcast listeners were thinking, it's getting close to that hour mark. I'm really tired of this podcast. The quiz has drained on quite a bit. Man. I'm glad that it's ending. And with the rightful winner winning. That's what they care about justice. Most of these listeners
if that's how you want to
really
win.
Into social justice. And they've seen social justice happen here. Whereas Dill, what does he want to do? Bring the mood down by talking about Adolf Hitler.
Look, Hitler would have considered himself a winner. So think about that.
Would he?
Yeah, he would.
When he was lying in that ditch?
Maybe for a while, but not at the end.
Well, a long while. Simon's going on about it a little much. Is he not?
I think we all are.
So I guess if I won that quiz... I probably deserve some sort of prize. And I can only really think of one prize. When we were off air earlier, Andrew mentioned a video about an onion that he found.
Oh, yes. Hugely entertaining.
Hugely entertaining or disturbing. I don't know what he basically described.
He said it was very strange.
Very strange. So as my prize, I'd like to claim Andrew telling me what this strange video about an onion is.
I'm just going to let it speak for itself.
All right.
The video is entitled Onion.
How do we dice an onion? Big onion. Look at that. Woo! To the good onion. Good onion is a heavy onion. It's a 6-pound onion. It's also an onion where the onion is put. This is the tip of the onion. The onion is not the knife around the onion. Remove the pepper skin of the onion. Dice an onion. It's an onion. cut the onion in half. On the onion, and onion, then the onion. The onion with onion. Onion. Onion right here. It's onion. It's onion. The onion.
Well, that was odd. How did you find that?
YouTube suggested that to me. you might like this video. I really did. You should just search onion.
Well, well, I mean, that's what we're dealing with here with Andrew. Yeah. Thanks for listening, everyone. It's been great having you here for this hour. We've been the Brother Streep, and Andrew, you've been whoever you've been.
Onion.
Bye.
Bye.
Bye.